May the Lord be with you. Amen. Boy, this is pretty exciting for me. Feels incredibly surreal. It has been a long journey for Sarah and I and for our kids. And we come to this place feeling deeply and truly that this is where God wants us to be, that this is where he has called us to be. And as we have been sharing stories with you guys over the last few weeks, as we have been getting to know you a little bit, every conversation, more and more, I am convinced and affirmed that God has called us here and that this is going to be an incredibly exciting place for us to minister alongside with you. We're deeply, deeply excited and joyful to be here. Thank you for the hospitality and the welcome that you guys have already shown us. We moved in on Saturday to our new home, and we're cared for, and stuff was put away. I'll find it at some point, I'm sure. But it was great. We were done in an hour and about 45 minutes, and things were done very well. Nothing got smacked around. It was great. It was exactly what you could ask and hope for in a welcome to the community. So guys, thank you so much for that. It is also incredibly exciting to get to start a ministry here. I get to start speaking in and on Pentecost Sunday, the advent, the anniversary, rather, of God's giving of his Spirit to his people. Pentecost, as you know, was when, after Jesus had ascended to heaven, he sent his Spirit upon his people. This is the river of glory of God. It is the fire of God. It is his Holy Spirit resting upon us, making human beings fully alive. And if you had been reading in your Bible up to this point in the text, you'd know that since the very beginning, human beings were meant to be the stewards of creation. They're meant to be representing God to creation. So at Pentecost, we have kind of a fullness of that. It's come into a new age, if you will, an age in which the human being has come fully alive by God's Spirit indwelling in them. As I move now to talk about the text, would you please pray with me? Father God Almighty, we ask that right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit and through your word, you would illumine our minds, rekindle our hearts, and strengthen our wills. We ask this grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I would encourage, if you have your Bibles with you, keep them open as I speak about Ephesians chapter 5 there. This is the text about which we'll be speaking. And I want to focus almost primarily on two words: be filled. Be filled, says God here. Be filled. He knows your deep need. He knows our deep need. Be filled. How much strife and struggle in our world comes about because we are trying to fill ourselves in some way, shape, or form. We are trying to make life meaningful by filling it with this, that, or the other thing. Perhaps the greatest example is when you go to the bathroom. What do you take with you? Do you go to the bathroom with empty hands, or this isn't a chance for us to, you know, show of hands. We're in a safe place here. But who takes their phone with you to the bathroom, right? You take your phone, you read something. There's other avenues in our life in which we're trying to always fill. Have you ever been on a commute and as part of your daily life? I don't know, I'm new to the area. Maybe out here we don't commute. But in some places, other parts of the world, you actually have to commute to your workplace. And on the commute, how do you redeem the time? You're going to listen to something. You're going to have somebody speak to you, or maybe listen to some music and rock out. Or maybe you're a DJ and you're playing music. You got to make sure that the one song always melds into the next song. There needs to be no gap. And sometimes in performances, on stage presentations, there should be no gap between what happens and what happens next. We want it to flow smoothly. We're trying to fill all the breaks and gaps. And I think we do that in our life too. Hey, what did you do on the weekend? The correct answer is I did something epic. Right? Nobody wants to say, in response to that question, what did you do on the weekend? Well, I did nothing. Oh, really? It's funny, I didn't see that on your Instagram feed. It's not really Instagrammable. You know, you're sitting there in your house coat, you've got last night's pizza on your tummy. Selfie? No. It's not the time. What did you do on the weekend? The answer is we have this societal pressure to not say, I did nothing. We're supposed to fill that time, make the most of it. So what is the full human life? What is the fullness of a human being in all their glory? Does it look like the celebrity? The one who has all the toys, who has all the things? Is that the full human life? Or maybe the full human life is the person who gets to vacation a lot. The one who gets to the beach the most, that's the full human life. Or maybe the full human life is the politician who can advocate for others. Or maybe the full human life is someone who's so incredibly wealthy that they can give generously of their time and of their resources. Or maybe the full human life is, what is it? How do we judge it? Do we judge the full human life by what somebody does or what we think of them? What we think of what they've done? For Paul, as he tells us in this letter and in others, the full human life for Paul was a Jew persecuting Christians. Somebody so on fire for their faith and against heresy, against false faith, that he would persecute and he would be very angry with those who were wrong in the faith and spreading that falseness. It's good to know that the church has grown up since then, right? Unfortunately, no. So Paul thought that the human being fully alive was someone in faith, under God, persecuting Christians. But then he realized, when Jesus found him, Paul realized that the human being fully alive is one that is filled with God's Spirit. And so that's what Paul is writing to us about in this letter. Why does it matter? Why do we need to try to understand what this human being fully alive is? Paul draws it to our attention when he says that these are evil days. Certainly the days that Paul lived in were evil, but he doesn't know what we have to deal with, does he? Corrupt, deceitful leadership, self-serving leadership. We live with wars and rumors of wars. We live in a time in which it seems morals are sliding, nobody seems to know what's right and wrong, and we're arguing amongst ourselves. We're arguing in so many sectors in our society. Sounds actually a lot like multiple eras in the history of the human race, doesn't it? These are evil days. This letter is very much written to us because we live in a context in which you can say these are evil days. Perhaps what might stand out for us, if we think about the time in which we live, is the polarization or the divisive nature of our conversations right now. So often, it's in our politics, in our churches, even in our families, we are divisive in nature in the way we talk about really important things. And we can get to the place where it's, if you're not with me and you're against me, then actually we can't have anything to do with one another and we should completely separate. And you know what? If you don't agree with me, I don't want to talk to you ever again. We're getting to a place in our conversations where we are very divisive. There's a spirit of divisiveness at work in the world that is very powerful. And so Paul writes to us in that context of evil days and says to us that we should be filled with God's Holy Spirit. I want to ask the question, what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit? And then try to ask the question, how does that happen? But first I want to say, why do people resist this? Why do we sometimes in our own hearts resist God's Spirit moving in us and through us? And I think it's clearly, as we sang today, we tried to sing that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But I think for us, and for many who don't yet know the Lord as Lord, when the Holy Spirit wants to press into their life, we resist because we don't feel free. Because we feel that giving in to a spirit would be giving up control and giving up our sense of freedom. But we've missed something, if that's where we come from, if that's what we feel. What we've missed is that no matter who you are, as Bob Dylan says, you're going to have to serve somebody. No matter who you are, it's not a question of will you be a disciple or will you follow a spirit. The question is, which one will you follow? And there are many spirits available for you. And you can ask yourself that question, which spirit will I follow? And it's easy to identify it with some spirits. When you think of the slot machine, for example, you can see how the spirit of that context can take over someone's life and dominate them. So they might be thrilled by what's happening there, but eventually it will consume them. It will dominate. Easy to see there that what you try to fill your life with will dominate you. This spirit will become the spirit that you serve. But what about other spirits that we might serve? Things such as our workplaces, our careers, and success. You can serve that spirit unknowingly, perhaps, but eventually it will consume you and own you. What about our families? Families are dear to us, but we can be consumed, even by the spirit of how we parent our children, that it can actually consume us and become something that we have to be a slave towards. So when Paul writes here, be filled by the Spirit, he is challenging us to give up our freedom and control. And so when we resist the call of the Spirit, there's a recognition here that this Spirit is going to be the Lord of our life. So the question is not, which spirit will you serve? The question is not, will I serve this spirit? Rather, which spirit will I serve? And so Paul is drawing us into the greatest place to be, which is to be filled by God's Spirit. And I want to say to all of us who feel in any shape, way, or form addicted in this culture, addicted to many good things, but maybe addicted to something evil and obviously destructive. When we are addicted to things, we need to recognize, and I want you to hear, that only God's Spirit can fill you. For the person who is going to the needle site, they're actually looking for God. For the person who is seeking out the prostitute or the illicit phone call or using online means of that sort, they're actually seeking out, calling out, looking for God. Only God's Spirit can fill you. And this is an incredible compliment, an absolutely incredible compliment, that you cannot be filled by anything else. Everything else that you try to fill yourself with will end up feeling worthless and like dust over time. Only God's Spirit can fill you. It's an incredible compliment to who we are as human beings. For all of you, those of us who feel lost or worthless or discarded, only God's Spirit can fill you, and He will fill you. So what does it look like? What does being filled look like? And I think if we're honest, what we long for, what we hope for, is that God's Holy Spirit would look like a power-up in a video game. I know that for me, as I grew up in the church, as I heard about the Holy Spirit and began to become aware of the presence of the Lord, I think I still have always wished that God would give me the mushroom in Super Mario Brothers, or the leaf, or better yet, the star. And if you know the game Super Mario, you can probably sing the song when you grab that star. And as you run with the star, you run super fast and you start flashing really bright and you can knock over all the troubles in your way because you're invincible. I wish the Holy Spirit would come upon me like that, that I could just run through all the troubles. You know, my first sermon as I start in a new ministry, I just wish I had that star and I wouldn't stumble through what I'm trying to say, but it would just be, you know, onwards and upwards, if you will. But it doesn't come upon us that way. The Holy Spirit isn't that presence in our life. And I think we, as the church, over the history of the church, we have misread Scripture wrongly, and we have presented the opinion, we have presented the idea that the Holy Spirit is most present when it comes upon us in the ecstatic experience, in the powerful, overwhelming experience. But Paul here is telling us about something different, and we can tell about that if we look at his grammar, at the words he chooses and how he uses them. Because the word here he uses for be filled is actually in a continuous nature. Our English doesn't get it. But he says, go on being filled. Continue being filled. Be filled all the time. Again and again, over and over, always, continuously. That means Sunday morning isn't our gas station. If he's saying, be filled continuously, then we don't come here Sunday morning and say, okay, fill me up again with God's Spirit because, you know, I used it up last week. No, of course not. You don't use up God's Spirit. What happens is he fills you, and then you find, if you're willing to grow with him, then you find you have room and the capacity to bear more of God's Spirit in your life. And so he fills us, and yet we grow. And be filled again. Go on being filled as we grow in maturity in him. That's not always easy to hear, is it? I know for myself, as I think about, okay, here's a new chapter in your life, get prepared to grow more. Oh, that's going to hurt, isn't it? Growing, learning, means I have to interact with difficult things, and it's going to hurt. It hurts to grow. But this is what God calls us into, and it's actually good news, because everything else is actually an illusion of freedom. Growing in him is the true freedom, is the true joy, and this is what we were made for. So what does it do to us when we're filled with the Spirit? What happens in our life? Now, the ESV gets this so well. Other translations, less good, unfortunately. But in the ESV, it's quite clear that the three things that happen to those who are filled with the Spirit are not further commands. There's only one command in this text. Some translations say, be filled with the Spirit, sing songs for one another, worshiping Jesus, give thanks everywhere and always, submit to one another. Three separate commands, sing songs, give thanks, submit to one another. But the ESV gets it so right, because the way Paul has structured it is kind of like a tower that begins, that the pinnacle, the peak, if you will, is be filled with the Spirit, and everything else follows after that, is built upon it. Be filled with the Spirit, continuously filled with the Spirit. Singing songs, making melody in your heart, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit, continuously being filled, giving thanks always and for everything. You can't just give thanks once. You can't just give thanks out of nowhere. You have to give thanks continuously. Be filled with the Spirit results in giving thanks everywhere and always. Be filled with the Spirit continuously, submitting to one another out of reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. So give thanks, sing songs, submit to one another. If we're filled with the Spirit, we will do these three things. These are results, not commands. That should feel like freedom to you. And if there was a point when you felt like saying amen, that'd be fine. You wouldn't scare me. Be filled with the Spirit, singing songs and making melody for one another, through your heart, in your heart. What Paul is drawing our attention here to is that those who are filled with the Spirit of God will feel compelled to worship. And we don't just do this on Sunday morning, do we? But we will sing psalms and spiritual melodies with one another, and to God at any time in our life. And I think it is a really good thing for us as a community to think about, if we want to be a place where people who are filled with the Spirit feel free to be in our Sunday mornings and in our community gatherings, we need to make it a place where people feel free and welcome to do this, to sing songs, to worship with and for one another. Because when the Spirit of God fills you, you feel compelled to worship. In our day and age and in our culture, this is often harder for men to do than it might be for women. And I have seen young men and I have seen old men stand in a worship service and stand. And I don't know the answer. I don't know how to say, let's all sing loudly, because that's not the right answer. We don't all worship with the same mode and in the same ways. But I would love to be a community that can create the place where we all can feel welcome and safe to worship together. I know for me, this came at camp. This came through my experience at summer camp, where I began to learn Maybe I needed some freedom from my parents or from the church of my youth, but I began to feel, I want to do this. And this is a place where I can do it. And I don't have to do it to fit in. I just get to do it because it feels like what I want to be doing. And I hope all of us get to feel and experience what it means to be filled by the Spirit, compelling us to worship. Because that's part of what Paul is telling us. The human being fully alive is one filled by God's Spirit and compelled to worship. That's actually true freedom. And then second, give thanks always and for everything. The human being fully alive is grateful. Our society kind of gets this. There's kind of an understanding that it's a good thing to be grateful. And if you were to look online about how to journal, or maybe talk to somebody who journals, that can actually help too. But if you were to find out how to journal, you'll learn that giving thanks is a good practice. And secular institutions also acknowledge that this is a good practice to do, give thanks. But I think you might be missing the point if you're simply giving thanks. And this text draws our attention to it again. Give thanks everywhere and always to God the Father. Giving thanks has a direction for the human being who's fully alive. Giving thanks has a source and a provider that we point to. God the Father, the word Father, of course, meaning for us the God who is our provider and our protector, the source and sustainer of all life. Giving thanks has a direction. If it doesn't have that direction, are we not turned in and around upon ourselves, even if we are giving thanks for good things in our life? If it doesn't have a source, we're ultimately giving thanks to humanity at best, but more likely to ourselves. Giving thanks to the God who gives to you frees you from any sense of entitlement. It gives you also the correct relationship with God. Putting you in that relationship of gratitude puts you in the relationship as a child of God, where we belong. The human being fully alive, filled by God's Spirit, is a grateful being. And this sets them free. Free even from the trap of the material world, where it can trap our heart and we become in a good relationship with it, receiving the good gifts from God as gifts. And then third, the human being fully alive lives in mutual submission with one another. And if in any way I have been countercultural this morning, there's no point that is even close to this. Sorry, the human being fully alive lives in mutual submission? Wake up. Have you seen the world we live in? The human being fully alive in our world is the one who is the front runner, the one with the greatest followers. They do the awesome things and we follow them. That's the human being who's fully alive. The human being who's fully alive does not submit. The text says we have it wrong when in our churches, when in our politics, when in our families, we try to rule without any forms of submission. The text says that the human being fully alive is one who lives in mutual submission with others. I know this in my own life, when in working in ministry, in my family, in workplaces that I've been a part of, when I'm participating in a mutual submission environment, it's so much healthier, it's so much better to be a part of. And I have memories of when, have you ever had somebody submit to you in the Spirit? It's incredibly powerful when somebody says, I'm not convinced that that's the best option. But actually, because I sense that God is actually leading us there, I'm going to submit to you. And some of the stories there come from when I served as a pastor and one of the elders. We were dealing with an issue together, and he said, that's not my way. That's not how I would try to solve this problem. But I feel God is asking me to submit to you. He didn't even say it with those words. But the power of that moment is a gift to you when someone else submits to you. And so we cherish that gift and we work together. But the human being fully alive is one that lives in submission, mutual submission with one another. And so it's always a learning. It's always a learning. When do we give How do we submit well? My hope is that we would spend the rest of our time together, and I don't just mean today, learning what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And Paul draws us to these three things about worshiping together and creating the place where we can do that, where those who are filled with the Spirit feel the presence and the capability to worship together. And then we would always give thanks for everything and be a grateful people, filled by God's Spirit. Let us be a grateful people. And then let us grow in mutual submission. Let us learn what that means together. And let us create the places in which we're able to submit the one to the other, mutually, both ways. Because this is what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And again, these aren't commands. I was told when I was learning what it meant to be a pastor that when you enter a new church, don't tell them what to do for at least a year. So these aren't commands. Don't hear me commanding you to give thanks. Don't hear me commanding you to sing songs or to submit to each other. They're results. They're results. How do we do it then? How do we get filled with the Spirit so that these results take shape and place in our community life? Well, the verb is passive, isn't it? Be filled by the Spirit. Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And of course, when he's talking about getting drunk with wine, he means all the modern ways in which we try to fill ourselves. He's not just talking about wine. So how do we be filled with the Spirit as the counter to that? We have to receive it. It's a passive verb. It's not something that I can program for you or that you can do for me. As much as we may long for it for each other and for ourselves, it's not something we can command or control. Be filled. Yet it's the command of the text, the rest are results. So how do we make sense of it? And I think the best way to make sense of it is, again, to return to my experience in camp. I used to go every summer to a camp in northern Saskatchewan, and this is where I would go windsurfing. And if any of you have ever been windsurfing, there's very few efforts in futility and frustration as learning to windsurf. You get this big, heavy plastic sheet, and you fill it with water, and then you try to pull it out of the water and not go over backwards again on the other side. And you are supposed to learn windsurfing in light wind. You don't learn windsurfing in the heavy wind. It's just way too hard and dangerous. So you learn windsurfing in the light wind, and once you start to get a little bit of a hang of it, you'd like to go faster, but you can't make the wind blow any faster than it's blowing. And I wanted to go windsurfing all the time, every opportunity I had, regardless of how strong the wind was. And there was one time I went, and there was pretty much no wind. You can't actually windsurf with no wind. So you pull the sail up, and then there's nothing to hold you. Nothing's going to pull the sail back, so you just kind of stand there. And it's pathetic. And try as you might, you can't make the wind blow. Similarly, try as you might, you cannot fill yourself with the Spirit. So if after this Sunday, if in any way you are inspired to be filled with the Spirit, to be the human being fully alive, don't go through the next week saying to yourself, Micah, be filled. Don't get so angry over here, be filled. Don't do this over here, be filled with the Spirit. Don't do this, be filled. No, you can't make the wind blow. But if you get the sail up and God blows that wind, there's no feeling like when the sail catches the wind and you kind of lean back and you're just held by the wind, leaning back much farther than you could if there, of course, there was no wind, and you start to launch and you start to fly and the board picks up on top of the water and it planes and now you're surfing. So we have to do some things. It's not passive in the sense that you just, well, okay, I'll go through my life, and at some point God's going to fill me if he wants to. I don't know. No. You get on your life jacket. You get your board ready. You get your sail ready. And when the wind comes, you're there. As a community, I think we do this, as I've already mentioned, by presenting and preparing the ways and means for us to express what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Just focusing on this text, we could spend the rest of all eternity trying to understand what it means for the Spirit to be in and among us. But focusing on this text, those three ways, let us as a community make this a great place to worship. It already is, so don't hear me wrong there. Let us continue to make this a place where people feel free to worship in and through the Spirit, in grace and truth. And let us make this a great place where people are able to give thanks everywhere and always. That means paying attention to the sorrow and the suffering and the mourning in our life, as well as the joys, so that we can give thanks everywhere and always. Because if we make the space for that to be possible, then those who are filled with the Spirit, us, Lord willing, we get to participate in that. And let us mutually submit the one to the other. Let this not be a place of divisiveness or polarization in our conversations. And as we move out into the community, let us also likewise be filled with the Spirit, not those who polarize or divide, but let us mutually submit to one another. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thanks be to God.